Hey everybody, what's going on? It's Mr. Bond.
And Tormod.
We're going to start our PAX Prime coverage, post-PAX Prime coverage, rather. Days 1 and 2, since we were there for the full 4-day thing. Oh man, it was a great time.
Four days this year.
Yeah, oh man.
Which spanned into the holiday, meaning one less day to take off of work.
True, but that also means we missed the holiday, so we don't get to take off of work.
We had a gaming holiday. It was like pre-winterine-mas.
A little bit, I suppose. We didn't really play a lot of games, though.
Speak for yourself.
Well, that's true. I mean, not like seriously.
Yeah, I get that. Like, okay.
Okay, cool. So first day was absolutely crazy. Everybody was piling in to try to get into the main hall for the initial kickoff thing.
And we missed our swag bags. Oops.
Well, we got them eventually.
I got them on the last day.
Yeah, hey. Whatever.
But whatever, we're talking about the first 2 days now,
yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, first 2 days. So we mistakenly got in the big-ass line for the main hall.
Oops.
Stood there for like 2 minutes and said, nuts to this. And
yeah.
We went back and just walked on the show floor for a long time.
Well, no, before that we had our picture taken with the ship from Wind Waker.
I thought we did that after we turned back from the line. Didn't we?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, we got outside and then we went in and it was like the first thing we saw and we were like,
ooh, right,
treasure map thing.
Exactly.
Yeah, so we stood in line for that instead.
Yeah, so Nintendo did this weird little questy thing for their new Legend of Zelda stuff, where if you did four things and turned in a card, you got a t-shirt.
Yes.
So we went ahead and did that. Why not?
And we have some hilarious pictures, which I still need to
give
you. So.
You need to give me your stuff.
Yeah, I have them on my laptop. I'll give them to you.
Yeah. So we did that. We also got to play a little bit of Legend of Zelda, Link to Another... So what's the subtitle?
A Link Between Worlds.
That was later. Was that day two or is that day one? I don't remember.
It was not day one.
Okay,
it was day two or three.
Whatever. It was pretty good, I thought. It was pretty good.
I like it.
It's very
Link to the Past-y.
Similar to Link to the Past, obviously, because it's pretty much a remake of it, but you know, whatever. That's cool. This was also our first day where we hit the Mega Booth.
Yes, well, we hit the Mega Booth every day.
Yeah, I know, but it was the first day, so it was like, oh, let's go take a look at the indie. So we did, and at least the first thing I remember seeing was Beat Buddy, which was really neat.
Yeah,
really
it was hard to miss Beat Buddy. Okay, so I'm a fan of these things because it employed visual and audio reactions that were tied together. So, like, you are this little dude, Beat Buddy, and you're going through these underwater things. I think they're all underwater, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So you're going through these underwater levels, and you have, like, certain obstacles, if you want to call them that, that you need to get past by turning off various voices in this drum backbeat / song that's playing. So, like, you'll have this thing that's a bass drum that obviously hits on each beat, usually, inside of house music and stuff like that. So if you hit that thing, it'll shut up for a little bit. And it'll unblock whatever it's doing, like blowing bubbles out or whatever the case is, so you can get past it. And then there's other ones like the hi-hat and the snare and whatever the case may be. But it's really freaking cool. And it's a puzzle based on music, and it's really reactive to what you do because, well, you have to hit these obstacles and stop the tracks to keep going, and it's just really fun.
Yeah. If you move with the beat, you go faster. And it's pretty cool.
Yeah, so it was good stuff.
They had a big-ass mascot walking around.
Which was freaking hilarious. Like, I kind of hugged it once, and it felt awkward. I felt the awkward through the costume, so, yeah.
Give that thing a wide berth. It was very portly.
Quite.
Also had the first taste of the Oculus, which was
cool. With Aztaz. It was a 2D side-scroller thinger set on a bridge where you had an endpoint on both sides, and you just had this onslaught of things to kill. So you killed things, and you could look around, and it was just like, hey.
Yeah, you had to move the camera by actually physically looking left and right and up and down. It was cool.
And I kept, like, comboing on things. I'm like, how the hell am I doing this? I never played fighting games ever. How am I doing this? It was a really cool game, though. It was all black and white, and then the blood was red.
Yep.
So it was very baby colors.
Yeah, so. Aztaz by Team Colorblind. I think it's releasing sometime in 2014.
It's pretty cool.
Go check it out. It's pretty cool. It was a very short line to try out the Oculus, too, so I'm like, oh, yoink!
Exactly. I was just like, eh!
Oh, there it is.
So that was perfect.
So we hit that. Right after that, we saw that they had a new setup this year. They had a mini booth within the mega booth,
which condensed almost as many games into a far smaller space.
Yeah, it was pretty cool, though.
It was. My complaint was the fact that the mega booth / mini booth was really tight and uncomfortable. So I'm kind of hoping that they eventually move them into their own larger space.
Well, as it gets bigger year after year.
I would hope so.
I want to happen. Well, I hope it happens anyways.
I mean, this is a convention, not 7-Zip.
But yeah, so the... wow. Great. That was excellent.
So many archives. So
the mini booths, like 16 or so. I want to say it's like close to 16 or whatever.
More than that, actually, because they had the outsides and then the two insides... Plus the mini booth, and then more people up here.
Maybe it's closer to like 24 then.
Yeah, I'm thinking that because they had the back wall too.
Like 24 smaller projects, smaller devs, one screen, one station that you could do stuff at for each of them, just condensed into, well, I don't know, maybe 20 foot on each side square.
Oh, you're talking about the mini booth in particular? Oh, no, yeah. It was far fewer than that. It was like 8. I thought you were talking about like the whole mega booth area.
No,
okay,
no,
sorry,
no.
My bad.
Yeah, it was like 80 some in the mega booth proper.
Yeah. Okay, I was like, wow, that's an underestimation
for
the
ages. I'm still talking
about
the mini booth.
Okay, yeah.
I'm pretty sure it was like 16 or something.
There can't have been that many because I'm like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah, there had to be like 8 total.
There was more than 8.
I have pictures.
So do I. I'm pretty sure it was more than 8.
Okay, well, I'm guessing
that's,
it's like 8 to 10.
That
but
doesn't matter.
Regardless, it was cool because they had a bunch of these smaller games, I guess you could say. But one of them was in the PAX 10,
yep, Scapegoat 2,
which was in the second half, which we'll talk about next show. It was in the second half.
Yep. So the mini booth operated where they had one full set the first 2 days, and then they swapped out for the next 2 days, which was kind of a cool concept. And it kind of got me thinking a little bit, like, I can see us going to PAX and presenting while having our game there at some point. Focus.
I am.
And having our game there at some point, but... You know, having a booth, even a very small booth, is kind of a lot to handle.
Oh, yeah.
So having something like the mini booth where you have this just this very small area to be concerned about and interact with people, that seems more our speed starting out. So hopefully they'll
starting
continue
out.
Doing this. Because I think it would be a worthwhile venture for us.
Yeah.
For sure.
You got to keep tweeting at @signofficialpax. I think there's an underscore in there somewhere.
Oh, speaking of, I also stalked the mega booth organizer that day.
Yes,
too.
You did. She's a lady.
I was talking to one of the devs in the mini booth, and he pointed out a lady walking by who was the organizer of the mega booth. He's like, oh, there she is. Go get her. Like, oh. So I got to talk to her for a few minutes. That was pretty neat.
Nice.
And apparently it's pretty easy to get going with the mega booth or the mini booth. You just go to the mega booth site and pretty much submit your thing, and that's it.
Cool.
So
it's like a vendor table
easy
at
peasy,
cons.
Lemon squeezy. I am kind of pumped for that, actually.
I hope so.
So throughout the rest of the day, we went to a couple panels, I guess.
Did we?
Yeah. Like that was the only day we went to panels.
No, that's not true.
That's true. Well, except for the last day.
Last day. What panels did we go to?
We went to Rise of the Indies.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Which was cool. It was a whole bunch of medium-sized indies talking about their successes, which was really cool to hear, but also kind of frightening to see, like, oh my god, these guys succeeded, how are we going to do this kind of thing.
And then we saw familiar faces, and
of course. So then the other, panel we went to was the Spelunky 4-Way Daily Challenge.
Oh yeah, okay, that's that a panel. Cool. Okay. So essentially they had this special build of Spelunky for PC, so that obviously has a daily challenge in it, but during their setup, I saw the seed.txt file where they just had like a 4-digit number in there so that all of the four players would have the same seed for that day, so they all have the same challenge that they could play instead of just random stuff. Yeah, that was really cool. And then when one person would die, they would like pull people out of the crowd to go up there and replace them. And there were some people that were better than the people that were up there initially. No, I'm saying like the last dude that was on the left side was totally kicking ass, and he started really late.
That was Tyler Glale.
Okay.
He did Closure last year.
Oh, okay.
And he also worked on another title, which I cannot remember, but I know is really big.
Yeah, well, he did a pretty kick-ass
job. Yeah, he did. He caught up and beat Hell as... I always mix these two up.
Gorf.
Yeah, that's right. Colin Northway. So it was Colin Northway, C418... Zach Gage and Douglas Wilson were the initial
four. Yeah. Dougal. Okay, so they all had these intro videos, and, like, of course, C418's only claim to fame, is Minecraft, and that's pretty much what he hammed up the whole time.
That's
so
true.
I'm German, and Notch, and Minecraft, and suck dicks, so.
I must have missed that last part. So that was really neat seeing it. I mean, I'm normally not one to spectate video games just because, you know, I don't really see the point of it, but it was really neat to see. and Colin.
Oh, not one to spectate video games, just the guy watching Spelunky runs.
Yeah, I watched Zach and Doug's Spelunky runs
more than once. Okay, I was just
they were doing a special stream of the daily challenges. I wanted to see what it was about.
So meanwhile, I just realized that there's a Twitch app for Ouya, so I was watching it on there. I was like, that was kind of cool. This guy, very new to the game, I was separate time, but it's cool. Spelunky's fun to watch because they all swear at each other and at themselves, and it's great.
Yeah, and then I think the rest of the day we just generally walked around the indie booth, pass out tons of business cards, and talk to folks, which will be a running theme for the other 3 days too, because we we did a lot of that this year, which was good. I'm glad we went out there and did that.
Yeah, I enjoyed myself.
So that was day one. Day two, we did more of like the manufacturer show floors. So we went to Sony and Microsoft and Nintendo, and we checked out all the latest, greatest consoles and all that stuff, got photos, and played a few of the games. Which games for PS4 did you actually get to play?
Okay, so, Knack. I got to play Knack for PS4, which is... It reminds me a lot of like the early PS1 things like Rayman and... games along those lines.
Platformer type thing?
Yeah, platformer adventure-ish games where you have mechanics like moves that you have to perform and you like interact with the environment, so crates are breakable and there's holes in walls that you can fit through, and you're defeating enemy after enemy as you progress through the level. And yeah, it's kind of that. It was really cool. It was basically, I would call the guy a golem because he has a core and then just random bits that float around the core, and if the core falls, or if he falls apart enough times, he dies. So that's kind of his thing. I got to play some random racing game. I don't remember what the hell it's called. But also made me realize that I should never, ever touch a sports car because I would fuck that shit up in 5 seconds flat. It was really cool using the controller. Unfortunately, none of the games that I got a chance to play actually utilize the touchpad. But I guess there is a World War I game that you can pet your dog companion by like doing stuff with the pad.
Probably Call of Duty.
It's not.
Are you sure?
No, it's a World War One game.
Interesting.
Yeah. Anyway, that was separate from PAX. But no, those are the two games that I got to play and gave up afterward because they had this passport where if you played like 4 or 5 games, you can get entered in a raffle and stuff.
Which the rest of the lines for the stuff
were
that
just
you didn't
fucking
do,
ridiculous.
Were like a couple hours long.
At
Forget
least.
That.
So, yeah, I actually got to play with the PS4. Didn't get to see anything of the X-Bone with the exception of a mock-up model that was sitting there. All of their demos were running on high-end PCs. Shocking, just like E3. So, no points for Microsoft on that one. The Sony exhibitors were pretty cool. Also got to play with some Vitas that were sitting out there beforehand. We got to see Dragon Fantasy Book 1, or was it Book 2? It was Book 2, actually.
It was Book 2, yeah.
That was being released, obviously, on Vita, and we also got to try Fez and some other titles that were sitting out there, so that was kind
of
cool.
Yeah, I played a little bit of Lone Survivor and also Spelunky on Vita.
There's Spelunky on Vita?
Yep.
Oh, I missed that. Oh, yeah, C418 talks about that,
which
too.
Which they limited to the first set of levels, the... mines, which was kind of disappointing because I was doing pretty well.
Nice. Okay.
It's like, oh, you bastards.
Very nice.
I suppose they don't want people standing there playing all day, so.
Yeah. No speedruns under 7 minutes.
I will never get that.
Someday.
No. I don't think I have the patience to do that.
Oh, whatever. But in any case.
So, Nintendo stuff, I got to play a little bit of Sonic Lost Worlds.
I did not.
Which was okay. I mean, it was a Sonic game, which they haven't been great recently, but it was. Above average, let's say.
That's good, considering their track record for the last 10 years.
Yeah, and I played a little bit of Super Mario World U, or whatever
new,
the new,
new
one.
No, it's New Super Mario 3D World, or
there
some such.
There we go, okay, that's the order
so
of the
So we ended up doing this separately, I think, because I don't remember going there with you. Okay. So that was exciting.
It was a pretty cool game. It's like
cats.
It seemed like more of the same, though, from what they've done with their previous title.
So yeah, like, but it's in 1080 and it has cat suits. Great. Yeah.
Don't get the whole, you know, oh my god, it's HD, it's amazing suddenly. No.
Yeah.
It looks nicer, granted, but.
We already have that with one of the launch titles, so.
Exactly. So it's
whatever.
Like, been there, done that.
They just added World so that they'd get the nostalgic crowd back.
That's true. It was a fun game, but yeah. I don't think. super awesome, amazing.
Yep.
There was also, they had the 2DS there.
Yeah.
Strange.
Which was a wedge. It does not have...
No hinge.
Yeah, exactly. Supposedly one giant touchscreen, except there's a plastic coating on the top one so that you can't use touch controls on it. But whatever.
Right. Targeted towards the younger crowd.
Five to six years old.
5 to 6, 5 to 7.
According to Reggie, insert French last name.
Fils-a-me.
Fils-a-me?
Yeah.
Okay. I cannot pronounce French
Fils-a-me.
Stuff. Yeah. Fils-a-me is what I was going to say. I'm off.
Awful. So.
But, yeah, that was actually kind of cool. The price point is, what, $99, I think? Or is it $119?
I thought it was $119 or $120.
Yeah, I think it's probably $119 then. I think Newegg has some special where you can get a 2DS and, like, a $10 gift card right now or some such if you pre-order it. But, anyway, rambling. What else do I have? Oh, we got to spend some time with the now-defunct ZREO and not-defunct PREO people. That's Zelda Reorchestrated and Pokemon Reorchestrated. Eric Buckles and Braxton Burks. I have to remember his actual real last name, not Catherwood, as he goes by sometimes. Yeah, those guys were cool. Got to meet Brian Costa finally, and Julian and Eric H with an end, or H at the end. So those were cool guys. Haven't seen them since 2 PAXs ago and never met Brian, Julian, and Eric before. So yeah, that was cool. Got to nerd out about Zelda stuff, and they told us good destinations to go and all those things. So yeah. Woo.
Then we went to the indie booth some more. There was a couple standouts on day two that I really thought about.
Yeah.
That really stick with me. One is Audio Surf 2.
Yep.
Which is really fucking cool. I had heard of Audio Surf 1, but had never played it. But the second one is just like, oh, it's amazing.
And you can import any track you
want.
Any
track. And it goes through and dynamically creates the course and the dips and the dives and the...
Yeah.
The slopes, it was really cool.
You can play it with mouse and keyboard, you can play it with a joypad, you can play it with a DDR pad.
Yeah, when I played it, I ended up choosing a Danny B track,
yeah.
Which was perfect because it had the huge just bass drops. It was like, can't wait for it.
That's really
going to
cool.
be fucking awesome.
So we got to get like an actual mat and somehow move this out of the way.
Yeah,
because we need to like do that instead of having, here, I can use my thumbs. So...
Yeah, we'll see about that part.
We need a bigger place for that.
Yes, we do.
We'll get that eventually. But
also played a little bit of Legend of Dungeon, which is totally cool.
Yeah. You actually purchased it.
Yes, so. I did, and it's on Steam right now in beta phase.
Is that one of the games that was discounted? No.
Yes.
Okay. I gotta unpack my swag bag again because there's so much stuff that people gave me.
That's really cool. It's a 4-player dungeon crawler roguelike thing.
Which I invited Kitten Elise to come play.
Which is really cool. I've been playing.
I
want to
play with you sometime.
I actually beat it yesterday.
How
so it's not
it?
Really difficult,
oh,
but
okay.
It's enough there that you could do it like. Stop that.
500
times.
I just remembered the other
anything.
Dungeon game,
no.
And I was so excited.
Which
speaking
one?
Of Danny B.
Oh yeah.
Crypt of the Necro Dancer.
Yeah.
Oh my fuck.
Yeah, I think that's
on day awesome.
Three.
No, I got to see that some before that because that's when I heard Danny B. That's his music. Nerd. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
But in any case,
yeah, okay.
We'll get to that.
There's also something called Project Cygnus, which is this really neat, like choose your own adventure audiobook style thing.
Oh, that. Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
That was at the mini booth, wasn't
it? Yes.
It was okay.
At the mini booth.
Yes.
So it's like, oh, so this guy kind of cornered me at first because I was, you know, kind of walking by. He was like, oh, can you give this a shot? I'm like, all right, sure, fine, whatever. He's like, oh, this is pretty neat.
Yeah.
What's it for? iOS. Damn it.
Yeah.
Supposedly they're in talks with Google, though, to get it on Android. So
yep.
Hopefully that'll come to pass. Really neat kind of thing. Just go check it out. Google Project Cygnus.
I am a huge fan of Choose Your Own Adventure. I believe I talked about that in one of our episodes a long time
probably
ago.
Probably more than one.
Probably.
But yes.
Okay. I know myself. Okay.
But yes. So there was that. Now, was day two when we met the big celebrities, or was that day three?
That was day three.
It kind of melds together for me.
Absolutely day three.
Okay, cool.
Because at that point, I was getting kind of tired, and I was like, let's just go check out the vendors on the other side, because they had, like, the import games and stuff, and then we walked up that aisle, and it was just like, ugh! We'll get to that.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, you're right. But day two, I do remember we met someone from Madison.
Yes, okay, so Muteki... was a booth in the very center of the Indie Mega Booth, sort of, on the back middle part. They ended up doing Dragon Fantasy, which they had book one last year, and that was cool, and got to play a lot of that. I remember Ogden, somehow. I remember the main character's name just after looking at it enough. It's in the visual style of Chrono Trigger, Final Fantasy VI, Earthbound, blah, blah, blah.
16-bit-ish.
Yes, which, of course, I love that shit. So I played quite a bit of it, and, well, I also saw book two at the PS4/Vita thing, and I was like, hey, so book two is on, like, PS3 as well, so that was cool. I was playing a bit of that, and I found what I thought were some bugs. So I talked to the dude up there, and it turns out he's the main dev, whose name eludes me at the moment.
Adam somebody.
Yes, it's another Adam. Yes. I have his business card, though, which he had to actually hunt for because he was giving so many of them out, which is good.
Cool.
Good it's sign. Great for him. But I also met their PR lady, who, it turns out, lives, like, four blocks from us. And she's like, where are you from, Madison? You're
no
fucking
shit.
Shitting me. What part of Madison? She, thinking that we're not from Madison, Wisconsin. I'm like, right. Well, we're in Madison, Wisconsin, right off McKee. And she's just like,
west,
what the fuck?
West side.
What the fuck is this? And, like, we're just going off. And it turns out she lives, like, Raymond Road-ish.
Nice.
And we're nerding completely from that. And she's like, dude, I got to go grab Adam. And then we start nerding out. And they're like, I need to go grab my Adam. And then we start nerding out. It was good. So, yeah, we ended up meeting Anna Marie and ended up going for sushi with her and then hung out a couple more times and ended up doing other stuff. So, oh, before I forget, in the evenings of day one, day two, and even day three, at our hotel at the Red Lion, there was the premiere of Final Fantasy XIV and Realm Reborn. Oh, my crap. Like, they had full-size mannequins with, like, costumes that were really, really well done. And the composers were there signing albums, and they had a Titan battle, and you can try both the PS3 and the PC version of the game, and they had giant everything. It was just really good.
We got photos. And
yes. We need to... Fuck, I don't have Facebook anymore.
Yeah, we need to find some way to get to those, because those are hilarious.
All right, well, I need to get back on Facebook sometime then. I just deactivated it. I didn't delete it. In any case... more news about the Final Fantasy XIV thing real quick. This isn't PAX related, but this was just announced. If you buy the shitty looking PS3 version, you'll get a free upgrade to the PS4 version.
Oh.
They'll actually give it to you.
Interesting.
No additional cost. You transfer your character in. Everything's totally golden. So the beta goes live the day the console releases, which is November something, 25th.
Yeah, late November, somewhere around there.
I think the 25th is the right date. But in any case, it goes into private beta then, and then it gets released later in the year before Christmas. But the game looks really cool. The soundtrack looks really cool. There's everything just is nice. And I have never played an MMO before. I've never really gotten into PC games. So I'm like, you know what? It's time. People have been telling me so much about this game as they did the private beta outside of the server issues that they had. And the ridiculous response that they had for the game, considering Final Fantasy XIV at release sucked dick really hard.
And even the second release wasn't great either.
Exactly. And now
Third
the Realm Reborn, literally, just outstanding feedback and sales and everything. And they actually had to pause sales for a little bit because they had too many people trying to activate. That has since been resolved. So... unfortunately, my Corsair stuff hasn't shown up yet, so I don't feel inclined to install it and start my trial when I won't be playing it anyway. So I'm obviously going to pay for it anyway, but I don't want to start the free stuff until I have all my stuff. But it looks really cool, and the music's fantastic. The art style is obviously reminiscent of the earlier games. It reminds me a lot of Tactics and a lot of the scenery from Ivalice. So I am a huge fan of FF12. And seeing some familiar things like the Viera and that style Moogles and those kinds of chocobos and things like that, that was really cool. So, huge. And it turns out that Anna Marie's husband, Chris, was doing interviews with the producers and stuff like that. So, like, we went up there together and we were kind of like, the whole time. It was good. So, yeah, that happened on the first two nights. Yeah.
All right. Cool. So that's the first half of PAX Prime. We're going to separate the second half into another broadcast. So see you then.
Bye.